You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, credentialed reporter, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts, to get the latest episodes. After an ugly loss kicked off 2021, Miami was back on the floor after 3 days on Monday night, this time facing off against a rebuilding Oklahoma City Thunder team. Both teams were 2-3 to start tonight, but the Heat were looking for a solution to their front court woes after having started Mo Harkless, Myers Leonard, and Andre Iguodala even at age 36. Kelly Olynyk got the nod on Monday, and boy, did he ever respond. Olynyk was absolutely a difference maker. Miami looked sharp early on, certainly much more effective scoring the ball than they looked in the last game against the Mavericks, but the Thunder responded with a six-point burst in the last seconds of the first quarter to even things up. But the Heat, clearly the more talented team, simply took matters into their own hands in the second quarter, outscoring the Thunder by 14 and shooting 62% overall from the field, 58% on three-pointers. In the third, they shut down Oklahoma City's offense almost completely, holding them to 25% shooting. And with the game clearly over, Miami rolled to an easy 118-90 win over OKC. 11 different players scored for the Heat. Only Udonis Haslem and Myers Leonard did not play. Coach's decision. Other than that, just a really solid outing for Miami. The kind of bounce back win that you'd like to see. Miami has this strange trend of losing a game, winning a game, losing a game, winning a game. I don't want to go so far as to say that this is going to be a trend that we'll see throughout the rest of the season. But for a team like this that has been going through some inconsistencies in the level of play about the players that have been available, obviously Jimmy Butler hasn't been there for most of the games of the season. I think the losing kind of helps them focus a little bit. It certainly helps that you have a taskmaster like Eric Spoelstra who helps you regain that focus. And you had a couple days off in between the Mavericks loss on January 1st, so that certainly helps. But look, overall, it was a very positive outcome, even against a rebuilding team like the Thunder. The difference to me, again, was Kelly Olynyk, 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 28 overall minutes, including 5 of 7 from three-point range. Great night from him. It just seemed like everything was really working as far as him being a solid contributor, where there was a glaring weakness for the team. And it's something that, if you haven't listened to my New Year's Resolutions podcast from yesterday, it seems like the more and more people watch this team, and people like myself who are paid to watch it much more closely, you start to see that the glaring weakness of this team is at the front court position. So I'm not sure if Olynyk is the answer for that. I'll probably talk about that a little bit later. But I will say, as far as the Podders are concerned, the numbers certainly bore that out, that his pairing alongside Bam was going to work. It's worked a couple seasons now. And I think that's another aspect of it that Kelly actually mentioned in his post-game comments to media, that he has a comfort level with Bam. They've been playing together for 4 years. If you recall, Bam was drafted 2 weeks before Kelly Olynyk signed with Miami as a free agent. That was after they had paid Hassan Whiteside a shit ton of money for him to be the player that he was over the last couple of years here in Miami. But he's also got really complementary skills as a shooter and passer. Jimmy alluded to his ball handling skills in his postgame press conference. So, you know, I'm just not sure. I'm not sold that this is going to be the move going forward. And, I have concerns, again, that I will go into more detail in the next segment. But overall, I think it worked well because this is Oklahoma City Thunder, because you've got a small front court there. They were starting Darius Bazley at the four, ostensibly. Not a huge lineup from them. I don't know if this is something that you're going to move forward. Al Horford at age 35, I want to say. I mean, it's hard to predict exactly where Horford's age is, but he's a little bit on the older side. You got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's bigger, Lu Dort, who's kind of small. George Hill was a starter. He's small, too. So Oklahoma City going with a much smaller than traditional lineup, and certainly even in today's smaller ball era, probably not the kind of size overall that you'd like to see. I just don't think they have any other options on their roster. So it worked against them. I don't know if Eric Spoelstra is going to continue to roll out with Olynyk. I've talked about it for a few weeks now, that ever since he used Myers Leonard in that Christmas Day game against the New Orleans Pelicans when he had to match up against Steven Adams, part of the reason why you rely on the depth that you do is because you have that depth. You have different options. And unfortunately, Mo Harkless hasn't been as productive just yet as you'd like him to be as a potential starter. You're still looking to fill that hole that was vacated by the absence of Jay Crowder when he signed with the Phoenix Suns. And now you're kind of stuck with not many options. Ideally, you'll make a trade. I don't think Achiuwa is ready. I don't think Okpala is ready. Again, something I'll talk about a little bit later in the show. So there are okay options, none of them great. And I think while Olynyk is solid as an offensive player, defensively there could be some problems. But one player who stood up defensively and has had a up and down season himself is Jimmy Butler. He had a great game, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists. More importantly for me, 6 of 6 free throw attempts, his best outing of the season. Much more indicative of the Jimmy from last season. Is it a matter of them playing the Oklahoma City Thunder, or is he quote-unquote back? Spo mentioned that he'd figure it out, and this was his direct quote from Spo's post-game media conference. Jimmy is a really good basketball player. We all know that. He is going to figure it out all his own. The level of concern in our building was extremely low. We just want to get our identity right on both ends, and we will just have to continue to work at it. So I think there were some, regardless of what Spo was saying, or perhaps not exactly as clearly as he was saying, I think there was some concerns. They know they were not playing well. They got blown out by the Mavericks. 3 games prior, they got blown out by the Milwaukee Bucks. So blowouts, not exactly part of Heat culture. You don't necessarily want this to be the norm, despite the fact that this season is going to be an aberration, a very weird one in many, many senses. But as far as Jimmy is concerned, he did struggle against the Mavericks. There's no denying that. And for him to come back against an inferior opponent and look sharp, at least that's an upward trend. At least that's a positive sign. And the fact that you know he's going to try and rely on it, they're not going to talk about whether or not he's got an injury situation or anything lingering. He looked much better. He looks, you know, on occasion, there are moments there where you can tell he's probably dealing with some kind of overall pain, perhaps. But he was mostly smooth. He botched a bunny layup at one point. So, you know, maybe that was just bad timing. Maybe he's still kind of working into it. Maybe the wear and tear of last year really did take a toll that we'll never know, that we can never possibly understand on this outside circle that we're in. So I do have issues. I think overall, however, I feel positive that Jimmy will figure it out, that he'll be as effective as he possibly can moving forward. I don't know that he'll ever be as great as he was in the finals. That might have been his peak. And I don't know if perhaps this is a long game for him where he is saving himself for a postseason run where he realizes he might need to do a little bit more, because when you have that opportunity to do as much as you possibly can, as we saw from him in the finals, where you can wind up winning a finals, a championship, then you do everything you can. You leave it all on the floor because you never know if you're going to get that opportunity again. Bam Adebayo, however, continues to be really, really good. I think if there were concerns about his lack of aggression or whether or not he'd repeat as an all-star player, or, you know, Domantas Sabonis, perhaps his greatest quote-unquote competition in the Eastern Conference, is playing very well as well. He did not play great in his one game against the New Orleans Pelicans today, but that's none of our concern. As far as Bam overall, though, 28 minutes, 9 of 10 from the field, 90% shooting, including a couple of mid-range jumpers, some nice dunks. One dunk where I can't remember exactly who it was who he obliterated off the face of the earth, but it was absolutely brutal. 8 rebounds, 4 assists, a plus 25, a team high plus 25, and 20 overall points for Bam. So his all-star campaign well underway, and I think he just continues to show a lot of that effectiveness and efficiency that we had hoped for him. Just a great night for him overall. Tyler, quiet game from him. But one of the things that we keep hearing from Spo is that there has to be intent, that there has to be some kind of flow in the offense, that you're not just looking to score. And to Tyler's credit, he mentioned that in his post-game conference as well. He said, look, it's not just about trying to get a bucket. It's about trying to get other guys going. And they mentioned that with Jimmy specifically, that they wanted to make sure that they got him going, that they tried to get him a little bit more loose and in the comfortable rhythm where he could be a little bit more effective. And I think, you know, Jimmy kind of downplayed it. He said, that's just the kind of team that we are, where we share the ball. But, and he is absolutely right. I think there's also a focus there. There's also, hey, let's get Jimmy going because he needs to kind of feel that rhythm, and it paid off. And for Tyler to be a part of that, for Bam to be a part of that, huge upgrade there. I think that's impressive for those two young players to understand that they have to initiate offense for others as well. I know some members of Heat Twitter were critical of Bam for wanting to initiate offense and not necessarily looking for a shot, but I think he's trying to find that balance. You know, that was part of that response that he gave me when I asked him about it, is that he understands you've got to walk a line as far as getting other players going or try to look for your offense. Tyler is going to be going through the same thing. And Bam has mentioned that too. He says, you know, for Tyler, he understands now he's a starter. It's a different role for him. He can't just come off the bench and get buckets. You have to be able to try and initiate the offense. I think it's going to work. Maybe it's looked rusty and clunky at some points. I think overall, it'll probably wind up being a pretty positive aspect. And you can always go to Goran as a starter in the playoffs if you need to. Overall, though, this is a really solid game. 34 assists on 46 made field goals, 47% shooting from three, and then 14 turnovers. So not great in the turnover aspect, but not as glaring as it's been. Miami has been the worst team in the NBA in regards to turnovers, and a lot of that has to do with the changes in rotations and players trying to figure out their role and Jimmy not being in the lineup, and you have guys like Bam and Tyler trying to initiate more offense. Not ideal under any circumstance, but the takeaway from this, a good game, good solid performances from another of players. And I think maybe you have something in Kelly Olynyk, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But first, I wanted to tell you about betonline.ag, because let me tell you, the NFL playoffs are kicking off. The NBA season is well underway, and there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we as a network trust. That's betonline.ag. If you sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get a 50% off welcome bonus. With the NBA season underway, you don't want to sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action, make a little money, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, it's your online sportsbook experts. Betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, you get daily picks and quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the Olynyk situation because, obviously, I think it's not just the big story of the game, but also of the season so far, is that Miami has a bigger hole at the forward spot that a lot of people anticipated, myself included. I didn't think Jay's absence would be so great. I know some people have mentioned Derrick Jones Jr. has been missed as well. I never really saw Derrick's impact on games the way a lot of people did. That's not to say that he's not great at what he does. He's a great lob threat, solid perimeter defender. That's all fine and good. But overall, I just don't think he was providing the kind of quality play where he's actually being missed to the same extent as Jay Crowder is. And look, I made a point in my previous podcast, my New Year's Resolution podcast, about why that might be. And I think it stands. I'll keep saying it. I think Miami started off last season hot, tapered off towards the end of the All-Star break around then in February, March. Yes, they had injury issues, but they also need an injection of enthusiasm and a difference maker in Jay Crowder. He provided that almost instantly with his hot shooting, even when they weren't winning a lot of games prior to the hiatus. Once the bubble convened in August, this was a very different team, starting off Jay looking very different than the group that had started Myers. And now with Jay no longer there, with Myers no longer playable, you're missing some of that consistency. There's something different about this team. And while, again, Spoelstra has continued to say, think about that for a second. One of the things that he keeps repeating is that they're looking for their identity. It's the beginning of the season. Yes, I understand that. But you've also just wrapped up your previous season. And yes, you're missing Jay Crowder. Your identity should be in place. I'm a little surprised that Spo has been so public about not having that identity, not having that kind of flow on offense. And while there have been tweaks to the roster, tweaks to the rotations, etc., it's still a concern. I don't want to crap on Miami's success against Oklahoma City Thunder, although I think their lineup was conducive to a big game for Kelly Olynyk. Moreover, I do think Kelly should probably continue starting. I like the idea of flipping between him and Andre Iguodala, just because I think Iggy's defense is still greater. And that's why the Olynyk issue is one that's most concerning for me, is that, yes, offensively, he's a great fit next to Bam. You have dual ball handlers, dual playmakers, and in Bam, I'm sorry, and in Kelly, a guy who stretches the floor as well as Myers, as well or better than Jay Crowder. And while that shooting has been mostly inconsistent, at least the threat of Olynyk, the three-point specialist, is there. And we saw that on display today. He seemed ready for the challenge. Kudos to him for being ready for it, because I don't think anybody saw that. And maybe he was injured last year. I know some people have speculated about that. Nobody's talked about it. The team, nor Kelly, talked about it. I think his minutes were also inconsistent. And I know Eric Spoelstra had mentioned, I want to say around December, that Kelly was starting to show more in practice. Shades of what's happening with KZ Okpala, by the way, that now all of a sudden Kelly was showing something different in practice and putting in the work, and then he started getting a boost in minutes, but then that tapered off. We saw the boom from Orlando Kelly or Bubble Kelly, and then unfortunately that tapered off as well, and then his minutes got yoked around. I mean, look, Kelly's been inconsistent throughout his career. He's also struggled to find a role here in Miami. I don't want to go so far as to say he is going to be the starter moving forward. I just don't think it's realistic. I don't know what other options you have, because I'll talk about KZ Okpala a little bit later in the show in the next segment, but right now I just don't think he's ready either. And so for Olynyk, offensively, great fit. A guy who you can run dribble hands off left and right. You can, you know, use the Kelly keeper with a Robinson cutting player, you know, or another player cutting around him or curling around his screen. You can do something so much more dynamic. You've got two dynamic bigs in Olynyk and Adebayo that can create offense for you. And so that's awesome. But defensively, that's going to be a problem. And I could see Olynyk getting into foul troubles. Now, I tweeted this out during the game. You know, it's nice to see him doing this against the Thunder. But what's going to happen on Wednesday when they face Tristan Thompson and you know, the Boston Celtics? It's not to say that Thompson is going to be a dynamic defender, although I think he's certainly a better option than Darius Bazley. I also have concerns about Daniel Tice. You know, you're not going to be able to work the screen and roll as effectively, especially with Boston's great wing defenders. They've got Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown starting. I mean, that's three really good perimeter defenders, and Tice isn't bad either at the center position, although clearly not the same level as Bam Adebayo, which a lot of you are fond of pointing out. So I do have issues with Kelly as the potential starter or as the solution moving forward. Right now, you just don't have anything. Ideally, it would be Harkless. It just hasn't paid off, and I don't know that you have another option. Chua's not ready. Paula's not ready. Harkless hasn't been able to step up to the responsibility and challenge of providing even half of what Crowder did last year. And so if that's the case, I think you go with that dual front court option of Iguodala and Olynyk. You know, if you need a more defensive-minded matchup, you go with Iggy. If you need more offense, or if you think it's a matchup that he's going to be able to exploit, you go with Olynyk. Maybe that works. I think a lot of players nowadays in particular are aware of the challenges and they don't necessarily place as much emphasis on starting or not. Olynyk, Spoelstra, and a couple other players mentioned that in their post-game press conference that it didn't matter who's starting. It's about getting into a rhythm. And Kelly himself said, look, you know, regardless of your role, you want to go in there and be as effective as you possibly can at it, whether it's starting or not. And so, again, kudos to him for recognizing that. We'll see how it plays out. It's going to be really interesting. And I don't know that Spoelstra is fond of making those kind of changes on a game-to-game basis, although he did that with Leonard. And maybe it's just a testament to like trying to find the right fit early on until a trade can take place, if, in fact, a trade can take place. There aren't a lot of great options there that are available right now. I mean, I know I talked about P.J. Tucker in my last podcast, Thad Young. I guess there could be others. I'm not sure if you blow up Toronto or any other situation there that might be ripe for the picking as far as getting a quality four, a versatile defender. You know, those guys are in high demand for a reason. So I'm not sure that there's going to be a team just willing to pawn one off for Miami's benefit. So we'll have to watch and see what happens there. But I also wanted to take next segment to talk a little bit about KZ Okpala, because it's clear, as he did get a few minutes in tonight's game, that people still want to see him succeed. And I'm at a point where I'm not sure it's going to happen anytime soon. but it's worth bringing up and kind of delving into a little bit deeper, and I'll do that in the next segment here on Locked On Heat. With an ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible to stock all the parts you might need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure pointless or intimidating questions while the person behind the counter orders the parts you're looking for on their computer? They choose only the brand that their warehouse happens to carry. You've got computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can choose from hundreds of manufacturers on their easy-to-use site, and you'll get everything you need with just a few clicks delivered directly and safely to your door. Why spend more for the exact same parts at a chain store or a car dealership? RockAuto.com's low prices are the same for everybody. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Then go to their How Did You Hear About Us section and enter Locked On so they know we sent you. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's rockauto.com. Just a reminder, they can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. Of course, I'll be recapping Wednesday's game later on and previewing it with Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports on Tuesday, so make sure you stay tuned for that episode. I wanted to talk about the KZ Okpala situation because it was a little bit of a discussion on Twitter, but also I got this question coming in from MoBLK, who asks, why is KZ not getting these Iggy minutes? No reason Iggy should be out there in a blowout. That's fair. I think we started to see a little bit of that in the fourth quarter when that blowout started happening. And this was before Okpala actually did get into the game. He wound up playing a total of 6 minutes. Iguodala played 15 minutes. Spoelstra is his own person. He's going to make his decisions the way he feels comfortable. And no one's going to pressure him to do otherwise. If Pat Riley can't change his mind about whether or not to start Hassan Whiteside or whether or not to bench Chris Bosch for a more traditional center, then believe me, nobody on Twitter is going to be able to change his perspective on why KZ Okpala is or isn't starting. And it's so, I have got to say, we are a year and change into this Okpala situation, and I wonder, I don't know if it's just kind of Twitter feeding itself to some degree, that all of a sudden somebody picks up on it. It kind of reminds me of what the Miami Heat beat guys did with Justice Better when clearly Justice was not better. And I know part of that was a joke and part of that was a bit. And another part of that was that Justice was very different in a way than Devin Booker wasn't. And maybe it was about just reminding everybody that Justice is our guy and Devin is, you know, putting up big numbers on a bad team. Although, considering now what's happening with Justice's career and what Devin Booker is doing on a really fun Phoenix team that looks like they can contend for a great playoff spot, you have to wonder whether or not Justice was actually even good, more or less, not even close to being better. So with Okpala, it feels like a little bit of that same thing, like where you kind of rally behind a player that you have hope, that you invest hope in. And you know, he spent all of last season for the most part with Sioux Falls before being called up prior to the Orlando bubble. He went to Orlando with the team, didn't get any playing time, didn't show anything, and didn't really appear to be an option when Bam got hurt in the NBA Finals. I know some people kind of half jokingly said KZ season, free KZ, etc. And I mean, it's hard to tell whether it's mostly a joke or whether or not there's actual belief in what he can do. But I've been pretty consistent in saying I don't see it. I did see something in that preseason game, and I thought maybe he'd warrant more minutes. But I've been fairly accurate in reporting that it just doesn't seem like he's going to get any kind of consistent playing time because I don't think the team, and Eric Spoelstra in particular, has any faith in him. Now, there was a discussion that I had on Twitter, and if you're listening to the podcast, I apologize because I can't remember your handle exactly, but I will say that you did have some good points. You know, one of the ones which was you have to have in-game reps. You know, I criticize Okpala for tossing a lob at Chris Silva, who also wound up getting playing time, and Silva was surrounded by defenders, and of course it led to a turnover, which led to a fast break or a foul. I can't recall which, but my point was, when I tweeted it out, I said, look, this is partly why I think, at least an indicator as to why he's not getting playing time. You're trying to fight for this opportunity, and then you toss a fairly boneheaded lob like that. I don't see it. Like, again, the criticism then from somebody on Twitter was, you know, you got to get more reps so that you don't make those kind of mistakes. It's like, yeah, no, I don't agree. I just don't think that's the case. I understand that anybody's going to get playing time and they're going to make mistakes. Mistakes happen. I just think that that's also not the kind of mistake you want to make. This isn't just taking a bad shot or perhaps over dribbling and then making a bad pass at a wrong time. This was, you know, if it's one thing for Kendrick Nunn to pull a Dwayne Wade and leave his feet when he pulls up for a jumper and not have anybody he can outlet the pass to. That's not great, but it's also pretty commonplace. I don't think there's any need to toss a lob to Chris Silva when he's being surrounded by defenders early in a shot clock. Like, to me, that doesn't make any sense. And then, you know, again, somewhat jokingly, because it's hard to take any of the the discourse on KZ seriously, then a lot of people said, oh, but he had that steal. And you know, Alex Toledo, Five Reasons Sports, forwarded a tweet to me about the steal he had on Theo Maledon, who's 20 years old, 19 years old, and from France. Like, this is it a joke that he was able to pick his pocket? I mean, it's a fine defensive play. He's just also ripped a ball from a kid who was a senior in high school, you know, or the equivalent of such, because he's been playing somewhat semi-professional ball in France. This isn't him having a stop against an elite point guard. This isn't that same kind of situation. I feel like now it's just like he can't do anything right, or he can't do anything wrong. And it's probably never a good perspective to have, because there's no balance there. There's no real nuance to the understanding whether or not he's going to be able to make an impact on this team, whether or not he's going to be able to gain any kind of consistent playing time. It's a weird situation. It's an unfortunate one for him, because you want him to succeed. Not just because they wasted an extra second round pick in acquiring him and he hasn't got any playing time or anything like that, but just because he's a human being and because he hasn't done anything bad. He just hasn't done anything egregious enough to not warrant any playing time. But here he is, a year and a half into his career, and you've got a younger rookie in Precious Achiuwa playing over him, who's got less experience on every way. I mean, Achiuwa has not played at the NBA level. Okpala has had a year's worth of training, and it's not the same thing. So you're also starting Mo Harkless, who hasn't been effective. You're also starting Andre Iguodala at age 36, but yet here you have KZ Okpala, a young option theoretically, who can play that four spot, who has the defensive versatility, who can score and could do other things, and just hasn't warranted or earned any playing time in the views of Eric Spoelstra. And so Maybe this is just Spo being hard-headed, or maybe we're not seeing anything. And then somebody else tweeted, you know, I've heard good things from him about what KZ's practice habits have been like, and I haven't heard that. I'm not sure who's mentioned that. I know the team in general thinks highly of him, because, well, why the hell else would you use a second-round pick on a player if you don't think highly of him? But I don't think there's been any kind of overwhelming favor one way or the other. I don't think this isn't Deion Waiters that made some comments. This isn't James Johnson, who showed up to camp a little bit out of shape, you know, and is going to get stashed on the bench and as a kind of a punitive matter. I don't think he's being punished. I don't think he's done anything to stand out to Eric Spoelstra. And that's the guy you got to impress. You know, I don't want to sound like an old person here, but you want to go deep, you want to go further and higher in your position as a player, as any job, well, you got to impress your boss, right? I mean, even if your boss is an asshole. And so I wonder if maybe Okpala doesn't necessarily understand it. I mean, I feel like he's getting advice from everybody to say, you know, hang in there, wait, do the work, do what you can. But at some point, you also have to take ownership and show a little bit extra, a little incentive, and right now it does not appear as though he's done that, and maybe he hasn't done enough in the minutes that he has gotten to warrant anything in addition. So look, there's no easy answer here. I don't think there's any clear solution. And as I mentioned via Twitter, I think this is all very speculative on everybody's part from every angle, whether you're in favor of him playing or opposed to him playing, or you don't think he's earned enough or anything. Nobody knows anything other than Eric Spoelstra and maybe Casey Okpala. So right now there's no clarity. There's no clear end in sight. And I think Miami probably would be much more likely to acquire a veteran player via a trade than to start KZ Okpala moving forward. But when you need fantasy basketball advice, it's important that you have a reliable source, and nobody is more trustworthy than Josh Lloyd, the host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Subscribe to the number one fantasy basketball podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to subscribe and follow this podcast to get the latest episode of Locked On Heat as soon as it's out. I'm David Ramil, signing off and thanking you as always for your support.